in this auditorium today that cannot testify of the goodness of God. God's been good to every one of us. We ought to praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. Ephesians chapter number 6, if you would, in verse number 10, if you're able to, let's stand as you read our scriptures, and then we'll be seated. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10 says this: "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to worship you in song and in giving. Thank you, God, for Brother Mullis and that song. And God, truly, you are good. You're worthy of our praise today. And God, I thank you. I know, Lord, you've just been good to us today, and I praise you for it. God, I pray you'd help this message now. I pray that, Lord, you'd hide me and lift up your Son. I pray that your word would be lifted up today, that, God, you'd draw men to you, challenge us. Whatever we need today, may we find it in the word of God. And I love you, Lord, and in your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, and be seated. We live in an age of what I believe we can classify, according to the Word of God, as a weak Christianity. A weak Christianity, where it's, many things are watered down. Those that would try to take a stand are, sometimes ridiculed or told not to, when the Bible makes it very clear to us that we are to stand. We live in an age when it doesn't take much for people to quit. People all the times are throwing their hands up and just quitting on God. I'm thankful today that God never quits on us. I'm thankful He never gives up. God never quits working, and I'm thankful for that. I remember when I first became pastor back in 2004, and something happened just a few months after I was pastor, and it was something very difficult to deal with, and it was in all the local news and media, and a matter that we had to deal with, and it was... I remember someone called me and said, "You need to turn on the news," and I turned it on. It wasn't nothing happened at church, but dealt with a church member, and it was a tragedy, and it was scary. I was 29, pastor of the church, and all of a sudden, I had to handle something that they did not teach you how to handle in college. And so I was afraid, didn't know what to do. So one of the things I thought of, I said, "I know what I'm gonna do." One of the pastor of the church where I went to college, he dealt with a lot of things in his church, so I called him. And it was a while before he called me back. It took another day or so. But he called me back. When I saw who it was on the phone, I thought, finally, I'm going to get an answer. This guy's been through so much, he's going to help me. And he answered the phone, and I said hello to him. He said, "What's going on?" And I told him what was going on. For about 20 minutes, I shared everything that had happened. And I then said, "So, what do I do?" And on the other end, I was waiting for this great knowledge, and he said, "Are you going to quit?" And I said, "No." He said, "Well, then you and God need to figure it out." And he hung up. I was so mad at him. It's like, what a jerk, right? Here I am waiting for a day for your wisdom and knowledge to help me through this. But he gave me the best advice I ever got in my life. He told me, last thing he said before he hung up, all he said was that and what I'm about to tell you. He said, "God's going to see if you're real." And it was hard. I never spent so much time praying, asking God, "What do I do?" It's a difficult situation. But you know what? That preacher was right. God has the answers. One of the things they really instilled in us when I went to college was being strong, not quitting. And I am thankful for that. Because we live in a world today where everybody's so easily offended. Nobody wants to be told they're right or wrong. Everyone wants to live their life and stay out of my business, right? My heart was broken last week as I saw a pastor that I knew fell into very gross sin. And it hurt. My heart's broken for him, his family, and the church. Paul said it this way, "Take heed, lest ye fall." The first thing that I thought when I read the story there, as my heart kind of broke, I thought, God, please protect us. God, please help me. I have no intention of falling into sin. I have no intention of going astray. But the fact is this, anyone can. I don't care who you are. I don't care what family you come from. I don't care what your financial status is or the spiritual heritage that you may have. Take heed, lest you fall. In the passage of Scripture that we read, it said, stand. And there again in verse number 10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Paul said, brethren, be strong. Be strong. If we're going to stand, if we're going to continue holding the torch, if we're going to continue doing what's right, we've got to be strong. But let me tell you where I think we mess up. I mean, let's face it, if you've been in church a while, all of us know people who at one time were maybe living right and doing right, but they've given up. I don't care who you are, if you've been in church long, you've got a story. And let me share with you what the problem is. Let me share with you the answer to that. We say, where did we mess up? Here it is. Ready? We try to be strong. That's the problem. You say, but you just said we got to be strong. That's not the whole verse. A lot of people have all kinds of determination. Hey, if we had a raise of hand today and we were honest, we would all about raise our hand today. Ready? When I say this, how many of us have gone to God and said, God, I am so sorry I did that. I am never going to do that again. And then we did. I mean, we said, I'm going to put up some safeguards. Safeguards are good. I want some accountability. Accountability's awesome. I'm going to, you know, do my best. I'm going to get up and I'm going to make sure that I am determined and my will is set. I am going to be a strong Christian. But then we fall. That happens the most. And the problem is because we decided we would be strong. And I don't care who you are and how much determination you have. I don't care how strong your will is. Man's heart is desperately wicked. Our flesh fails. And the Bible verse says there in verse number 10, finally, my brethren, be strong. And now I want you to read out loud the rest of this verse with me. Ready? All right? Because I've been watching as you've been singing. You guys are tired today. You guys are drowsy. You know, we're singing a song, Who is on the Lord's Side? And we're like, Who is on the Lord's Side? All right? No, man. This is exciting, right? It's exciting to be a Christian. Amen? It's a wonderful thing to be a Christian. It's cold outside, but at least the sun's shining, right? It will eventually get warm. I promise. All right? I promise you can put those fears aside. Ready? Ready? Read this verse with me, verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong. Ready? Read it with me. In the Lord and in the power of His might. Can I tell you something? The secret to standing, the secret to being strong, is it has to be done in the Lord and in the power of His might. We're going to look at that this morning. I want you to understand just two things really in like 22 subpoints. All right? But number one, ready? Number one, you have to be saved. You have to be saved. It says there in verse number 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. In the Lord. The moment that you got saved, you were placed in Christ. Amen? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The moment that you and I, when we trusted in Jesus Christ as our Savior, we were placed in the Lord, and that is a safe place to be. I'm thankful today that I find myself. That's why even in Ephesians it says that we are seated in the heavenlies. I mean, our spiritual status right now is we are in God. We are with Christ, and we will forever be with Christ. I am saved today, and I am saved just as much today as I will ever be. I am God's child. That will never change. Praise God for that. I am going to heaven someday because I trusted in Jesus Christ as my Savior. You see, I'm going to heaven today not because of me. The Bible is very clear. We're not saved by our works and the good things you do. When we were just down in Mexico, they believe in God. They believe that Jesus died. They believe that. I mean, we followed along on Friday. It was Good Friday. And we walked into town like we did every morning, passing out tracts. And as we got into town, there's this huge, I mean, just parade of people. And the whole town, all the little businesses were shut down. And I said, well, there's where everybody is. So we jumped in with them, right? Wherever they're going, we're going. Probably not the best spiritual advice I ever gave you. But all right, there you go. We got in the airline, and we started walking down the road. And all of a sudden, I'm trying to look over everybody, trying to peer over and what's going on, and down the distance, down the road, there were three guys carrying a cross. And I realized what was going on. And they were whipping these guys, and people were yelling and mocking. They took them to the town plaza, and they reenacted the crucifixion. And by and large, because Catholicism is so prevalent in Mexico, by and large, everyone in that plaza knew that Jesus died. They all knew that. They all knew the crucifixion story. Probably better than most people in a 20-mile radius of where we're standing. They were raised in that. I mean, that's all they've ever heard. They know there's a God, and they know that Jesus died on the cross. But the problem is that's where it stops with them. They then pray to Mary. They pray to, I mean, just we walked into churches and there's idolatry, idols everywhere. These young 20-year-old men walked into the little church building and they went and they bowed their head and they began to kiss and pray to the statue. You see, they know there's a God and they know that Jesus died, but they've never trusted in what he did on the cross to forgive their sins. To them, they are trying to earn their way to heaven. Every day that those church buildings, people were going in and out praying. Every day. Every day we walked to the plaza, and every day there were people ushering their way through those churches and praying to idols. There's the bones of a dead priest or something. His bones are sitting there, and people would go and they pray. And my heart broke as I saw their idolatry. They're trying to earn their way to heaven, and any Catholic that's taught in that would also know that they would continue doing all the different sacraments and trying to earn their spot in heaven. That's not salvation. And I'm not mad at them. My heart breaks for them. But the Bible, I'm going to trust the Bible over what any man says. And the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible says that, that it is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. The Bible says that if thou shalt, confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And you say, what is these verses saying? It's saying it's not what we do that gets us to heaven. It's trusting what Jesus has done. The fact that Jesus Christ came and he died for our sins. And this is one part that I just wanted to run around that plaza and yell. He did not just die on the cross. That's not the end of that story. He arose from the grave. and he lives today. He is seated at the right hand of God. As I'm talking to you, Jesus Christ is alive, seated beside the throne of God. He is there. He is God. He is the Son of God. And today I'm going to heaven because I have trusted that Jesus Christ died for me. He was buried and he rose again. He paid my sin debt in full. And that day when I believed in Jesus Christ and I called upon the Lord to save me, he saved my soul. The Bible says, they that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. When we go to Jesus and go to him for salvation, he will always say yes. Thankful for that today. When I quit trying to be a good person and trusted in what Jesus had done, the Lord saved me. Jesus looked and said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Even when they were up on that cross, they're doing that mock crucifixion there in that plaza. They even went through the one point where the guy there on one of the sides of Jesus Christ while he was on the cross, one of them mocked the Lord. And then the other one there, he said, Lord, remember me this day in paradise. That other criminal said, we are getting what we deserve. We are earning this. We are getting what we deserve. And he said, but Lord, remember me. He trusted what Jesus, that he was the Son of God. He knew and he trusted in Jesus. And what did Jesus say? This day thou shalt be with me in paradise. And I sat there and I watched that as they did that in that plaza. And I thought, I wish they'd understand what just happened. Yeah. Guess what that thief on that cross did to earn his way to heaven? Nothing. He trusted in who Jesus was. That's the way to heaven. So, get back to the message. I want to stand, preacher. I want to be a strong Christian. Well, number one, you got to be saved. You got to be in the Lord. But number two, not just in the Lord, but in the power of his might. You see, that's the key. It's not us. It's not me and you. Did you know you want to be strong today? You can't do that in yourself. I've tried many times to be strong. And I've done pretty good for periods of time. But in my flesh is weak. Paul described it. Remember when he said the things I shouldn't do? I do. The things I should do, I don't do. You know why? Because there's a battle going on. My flesh is wicked. My flesh is weak. It doesn't matter how long you've been saved. You say, some of you may say, you know, I can't be strong in the Lord. I've only been saved a few days, a few weeks, a few months. It doesn't matter how long you've been saved. You can get saved today and be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Or some people sit there, well, preacher, I've been saved for 40 years. Of course, I'm strong in the Lord. I don't care how long you've been saved. That's the length of time of your salvation is not how strong you are in the Lord. I don't care what family you come from. You know, Paul, remember when Paul went through all his pedigree? Paul listed everything that he had accomplished in his life. Pharisee of Pharisees, Sadducee. He knew the scriptures. He sat under the feet of Gamaliel, one of the best Bible teachers. I mean, he had this big old pedigree of all the reasons why he was good, but you know what? All that stuff, who cares? You may have been born in a godly family. Your parents may have loved the Lord, or you may have come here today for the first time and your parents have never heard of Jesus. It doesn't matter. You can be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. I don't care what kind of home you come from, has no effect in it. I do not see that in the scripture. It doesn't say, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord as long as you come from a good family. Aren't you glad it doesn't say that? Oh, man, I'm glad. Now, I know, I'm thankful for, you know, both my grandparents were saved. Now, one grandpa didn't get saved until very late in life. But, I'm thankful for that. But you go past that, my family's a mess, man. I mean, my great-great-grandpa down right outside Hazard, Kentucky, was running whiskey. Yeah, isn't it terrible? He's running whiskey, and the sheriff said, you come in this town again, I'm going to shoot you. You know what he did? He killed the sheriff. That was my great-great-great-grandpa. That's my family tree. Proud of that one, right? I mean, they were rough. Have you ever met my grandpa? A few of you have. He only has like two fingers on his hand. You know why he lost two of them? His brother said, if you touch my rifle again, I'm going to cut your finger off. He did. Twice. That's the kind of family. They were rough. They were all drunks. They beat each other. But God changed all that. God changed all that. I don't care what family you come from. I don't care what line you come from. I do not care what even, I mean, you say, whatever Baptist church you want to attend. I really don't care. I don't care what church you're sitting in. That doesn't determine how strong you are in the Lord. I mean, it really doesn't matter, because that is a personal decision. I don't care what areas of separation you may have. What is the key? You have to, one, be in the Lord, but then what does verse number 10 say? And in what? And in what? The power of His might. Well, what is that? Go back to chapter number 1, and we'll look at this, and I'll wrap it up. Here's my 22 subpoints. Ready? In Ephesians chapter number 1. I'm kidding on that. Don't panic, all right? Ephesians chapter number 1. Look with me in verse number 11. Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse number 11. It says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. In whom also ye trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of His glory, of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. You notice there in verse number 19, Paul describes the greatness of His power. He describes there the mighty working of His power. And then when he says to be strong in the Lord, just a few pages over, and in the power of His might, he's referring back to what he just described to them as the power of God. You see, you and I, if we're going to do anything for God, if we're going to be strong, and I want everybody in this room to be a strong Christian. I want to be a strong Christian. I want Brother Mullis to be a strong Christian. I want my wife to be a strong Christian. I want all of us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. But sitting at Cathedral Baptist Temple doesn't make us strong in the Lord. Putting on our tie does not make us strong in the Lord. Saying that I'm strong doesn't make us strong in the Lord. Talking that we're strong doesn't make us strong in the Lord. Being born into my family doesn't make you strong in the Lord. Being a Wilson doesn't make you strong in the Lord. Being a Daniels doesn't make you strong in the Lord. Being a Salee, a Sutherland, a Haddix, who cares what our last name is? But what makes us strong in the Lord is being one, saved in the Lord, but then living our life in the power of His might. In His power. That is something not that we look forward to, but that we should enjoy every day. You remember when Lazarus died? Remember when Jesus heard the news? And remember, He didn't go. He said, this sickness is not unto death. Don't you always wonder, you know, when you read the scripture, you got to think a little bit, because it's so entertaining too. Can you imagine? He looked at His disciples and says, this sickness is not unto death. And then He makes His way over there to Bethany and finds Lazarus. And what did it, first thing that happens? They run out and say, Lazarus is what? Can you imagine the disciples? I mean, how would you like it, right? the Lord just messed up. Right? You would have thought it. You know the end of the story, and you're like, you didn't mess up. Thank you for being spiritual. But you would have been there. You would have been like, excuse me, Lord. You said he wasn't going to die. But remember, it was all for the glory of God, Jesus said. He had a purpose in this. He said, yeah, he was going to teach, you know, Mary and Martha a lesson. He was teaching the disciples a lesson too. And he's teaching us a lesson. Remember, the ladies walked up to him and said, Lord, if you'd have been here, my brother would not have died. And you remember, he said, your brother will live again. Remember her response? I know, Lord. And she knew all the right answers too, like we do sitting in our pew, right? I know, Lord. I know there's going to be a resurrection and my brother will live again. I know. But remember Jesus' response? He said no. She hadn't got it yet. Just like a lot of us haven't got it yet. A lot of us are sitting in our pew today saying, I know, Brother Scott, it's going to be okay one day. I know. I'm tired. I'm defeated in this life. But someday, and we all get excited, you know, it will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Whew, amen for that. And that's an amen. Amen. But we didn't drag ourselves through this life, right? You're missing the same point she was missing. No, 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 he said. I know, Lord, there's going to be a resurrection. Remember his response? I am the resurrection and the life. I am. Right now, the disciples are sitting back saying, what? You see, it wasn't something that we're going to experience one day. Heaven's going to be wonderful. Amen? I mean, when we put aside all of the pain and suffering and no more crying, I'm looking forward to that day too. I'm looking forward to the day where there's no more doctors and sicknesses and heartaches, no one ever going astray. I'm looking forward to that day too. But that doesn't mean I live my life miserable. That doesn't mean I have to endure church. That doesn't mean I have to endure all my trials and woe is me, life is terrible. No, right now, we are to enjoy the power of God. Right now, we should live our life in the light of the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Right now, you ought to be enjoying that life. Not just what's to come, but right now. Right? Look here there in Ephesians. Let me borrow your Bible. King James? Good. All right, good. All right. Look here in Ephesians chapter number 1. Knew it would be. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 again. All right? Ephesians chapter number 1. Again there in verse number 13, in whom also you trusted after you heard the word of the truth. Are you saved today? Yes. Amen. The gospel of your salvation. You glad you're saved? Yes. Brother Sutherland is awesome. All right, good. All right. Anyone else glad you're saved? Amen. Amen. Which is the earnest of your inheritance. Aren't you glad that once you're saved, you're always saved? Yes. Until the redemption of the purchased possession and to the praise of his glory. You have been sealed until the day of redemption. That means you cannot lose your salvation. The Holy Spirit indwelt you and sealed you until that day of redemption when we are with Christ one day. Amen for that. You ought to be happy that you can't lose your salvation, because if you could lose it, we'd all be in trouble. I love talking to those people that believe you can lose your salvation, because I always say, well, which sin does it? And they always look at you. Well, the bad ones. What's the bad ones? Have you committed the bad ones? Oh, right? Yeah, well, anyways, aren't you glad you're always saved? When Jesus said, they that believe in me, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. If you could lose your salvation, Jesus lied. Because he said, they that believe in me, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. If you could lose your salvation, that verse is wrong. Amen? Aren't you glad you're saved? Amen. Wherefore, verse 15, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and to love and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. We ought to be loving each other. Amen? So what it says, verse 15, y'all still sleeping on me. I will wake you up today, all right? I got all day. I don't have to do nothing until 5:30 tonight, all right? Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints. You saved today, now you ought to love each other. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. We ought to be praying for each other. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. You ought to be growing in the Lord. You ought to be learning the Word of God. You ought to be studying the Word of God. You say you're supposed to be preaching about how to have the power of God. I am. That's the context. You get saved, you love people. Isn't it funny that God put that first? Get saved, love people. And that's not the only time it's mentioned in that order. What is the great commandment? That you love the Lord God with all your heart, and the second like unto it, that you love your neighbor as yourself. If you don't love people, you're missing out on the blessing of being a Christian. You ought to love people. Love people. It was so hard to leave there in Mexico. The weather was nice. The food was delicious. But I was ready to come home. The hardest part was those people. I fell in love with them. Every time the service was over, we had peanut fellowship. That was the greatest thing ever, man. Brought out bags of peanuts, and all the men sat around a table and cracked peanuts and talked to each other. Well, I listened, but I didn't say a whole lot, right? But it was awesome. You just love each other. I was only with them for 3 services, and every one of them hugged my neck. You love each other. I still, every day I've gotten a text. Me and brother, I was just talking to Brother Eduardo, he does too. Brother Fabian down there. That's the greatest name ever, Fabian. All right? I love Brother Fabian. He sends me a text every day. Good morning, Pastor. And he keeps bragging on how warm it is down there. And I keep writing him back. Thank you, Google Translate. And I keep writing him back. You know, and we're having these conversations. You know, he just sent me a picture of him welding something the other day. He said, it's a beautiful morning. I was thinking about you, Pastor. And I thank God for you. That was awesome. That was awesome. Anyways, you got to keep growing in the Lord. Verse 17. Verse 18. That the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. What is the hope of our calling? It's our blessed hope, man. What is that? You've been saved, right? Aren't you glad you're saved? Well, what's the hope of our calling? He's coming back. He's coming back. It could be today. Are you ready for that? He's coming back. I hope you're seeing what all is happening here. Paul's taught, he's getting to the point where this is the power of God. Well, what is it? You're saved. You love people. You're praying for others. You're in the Word of God. And you're looking up. You know, it's hard for you to sit there and sing who is on the Lord's side when you're thinking about the fact that the Lord could come back today and be bummed out. Right? I mean, how could you listen to Brother Maul sing that song and be thinking about the fact that the Lord's coming back, right? And not get stirred. God's been good. Yeah, I guess. Right? Now, if you know He's coming back and you're thinking about what He's done for you, God is good. He is so good. And He's coming back. And it says there, the hope of our calling and what is the riches of His glory of inheritance to the saints. Oh, how wonderful heaven's going to be. You know what kind of inheritance we've got waiting for us? Amen. What a great inheritance. Y'all still ain't get it. At least Brother Davis woke up. Amen. Thank you, sir. All right, good. Heaven's going to be wonderful. We are going to walk on a street of gold. Think of what all is behind us. Think of, and I understand the pearly gate, and I understand all that's there, but the greatest part of heaven is we will spend an eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's going to be a wonderful day. What an inheritance we have. And what is, verse 19, the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. If you and I keep those things in the forefront of our life, every day of our life, what are they? I'm saved. I am forever saved. I'm going to love people. I'm going to pray. I'm going to grow in the Lord. I'm going to look for His coming. I've got a mansion waiting for me. You then can live your life in the mighty power of God. You know why we don't live in the mighty power of God? Because we don't even think twice about a lot of these things. We'll go an entire week without thinking about heaven. We'll go an entire month without expecting the Lord to come back that day. We'll live our entire day without ever praying and reading the Bible. We'll not ever stop and rejoice in our salvation and the fact that I'm sealed. And then we wonder why we're bummed out. We wonder why we can't sing the songs of Zion. We wonder why we can't say an amen. We wonder why we can't ever get excited to serve the Lord. We're not living in the power of His might. We wonder why we fall when temptation comes our way. Because we're not living in the power of His might. I mean, I know Brother Mullis. He knows me. And I know Brother Mullis struggles with his flesh just like I do. And just like you do. But you know what will keep him and me from falling into sin this week? Is by constantly keeping in front of us the fact that I am God's child. I am going to heaven. I need to pray today. I need to learn from God today. I need to look for the return of Christ. I need to love my neighbor and be busy about loving people. You know what? That'll keep you from falling. You live in the power of His might. There in verse number 19, what is exceeding greatness of His power to usward, which believe according to the working of His mighty power. That's the power of God that we can enjoy. Well, what is that? Verse 20, remember the story of Lazarus, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him up from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. The fact that we serve a risen Savior. You know, last week was Easter. That's a good day. I love at least people's minds. You can talk to them about what Easter's about. But the fact is this. I didn't just celebrate a resurrected Lord last Sunday. I did it when I got up this morning again. I'll do it next Sunday. I'll do it next Sunday. I serve a risen Savior. And when I realize the power of God and what He has done in raising His Son and giving to me eternal life, that's the power of the resurrection is something I can live with every day of my life. I can live in the power of God. Which, by the way, that power, verse 21, is far above all principality and power. I don't care what the world throws at you. I don't care what government you're under. I don't care what influences I may be surrounding you. The Lord is above that power. Yes. And mighty and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under His feet. Stop and meditate on that for a second. Every problem we have, God said, that's below me. Taken care of. And gave Him to be the head over all things to the church. We need the church. We need the church. Which is the body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. You say, well, I'm a Christian. I'm just going to be strong, but I don't need church. You're not going to understand the power of God. That's what the context is, right? All these things help us to live in the power of God. Now, let me ask you a question. Thank you, Brother Haddix. May I ask you a question? Are you strong? I'm not asking whether you're determined to do right. I'm not asking if your will is set. Are you strong in the Lord and in the power of His might? Everybody look at me. Some are here today, and you might be about at the point where you're about to throw your hands up and quit. And I know life gets frustrating, and I know life. So what do I need to do? Number one, be sure you're saved. But number two, live in the power of His might. You need to come this morning or there at your seat and remind yourself, I am God's child. Love people. Look for His return. Pray. Grow in the Lord. Rejoice in our resurrected Savior. Get involved in your church and enjoy the power of God. Remember there, it's one of my favorite sermons. Remember when those guys are down there building a building for the prophet Elijah? Remember that story when the axe head floats? Don't you love that story? This is one of the young men's building they're going to build a big old house, right? And he's chopping the wood. And the axe head flies off and lands in the pond. You're all staring at me. That is in the Bible, I promise. All right? All right? It lands. If you thought that was weird, wait. All right? And it lands in the pond and sinks to the bottom. And that boy looks at the stick and says, oh no, this isn't even my axe. I borrowed the axe. And he went back to the prophet and said, told the prophet what had happened. The prophet came down. Remember what happened? They prayed, and all of a sudden, that metal axe head floated to the top of the water. That was a miracle. Metal doesn't float, all right? And it floated to the top of the water. And Elijah said, reach out and get it. And he reached out and grabbed the axe head and set it back on the axe handle and began chopping wood again. And I believe with all my heart that we are showing an example here of what the power of God is. You see, that axe head, it was borrowed. I, in my own, cannot do the work of God. I can't stand, Brother Scott. I will fall. My flesh gets weak. I get tired. I get frustrated. I get bitter. I can't do it on my own, and neither can you. But the power of God is something that God will give us. It's not our own. We borrow it. But look at me. You can lose the power of God. You can lose the power of God in your life. I'm almost done, I promise. You know what the kid could have done? The kid could have looked around and said, no one's really looking, right? And he kept on swinging the stick, right? Because it's kind of embarrassing when your axe head falls off into the water. Now you can't do anything. He could have kept on swinging. Been very frustrating because the tree's not going to fall over. But he could have. It'd have worn him out. It'd have probably scarred his hand with blisters. But he kept on swinging. He could have. So why? Well, that's ridiculous. He didn't do that. A lot of Christians are. A lot of Christians are trying to go through their life and they realize the power of God's not in my life, but they just keep on trying to do it themselves. They keep on swinging. They keep on trying to get something done, but they're frustrated. They're hurting. They don't understand why the job's not working. Why am I not seeing anything accomplished? He had to humble himself and say, I need help. But then even in that, and praise the Lord. And by the way, remember when he went and got the prophet? And the prophet said, where fell it? And he said, right here. And I'm going to look at you real quick. Everybody, leave me. I promise I'm done. If you don't have the power of God in your life, chances are if you stop, you'll know exactly where you lost it. You'll be able to point and say, ask the Lord right now. There was that thing, that instance, that circumstance, that temptation that you really just gave yourself to. And you've never gotten it right with God, or you've never gotten it right with other people, and you lost the power of God in your life. And even as the message is going on, the Holy Spirit says, that's where you lost it. That's where you lost it. You know what you have to do? Humble yourself and say, I want it back. Man, we praise the Lord if we confess our sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. But even in that, the prophet, God offered the axe head back, didn't he, through a miracle. Isn't it a miracle that God would restore us? What a miracle that is. But still, now look at me. He had to reach out and take it. The axe head didn't just float out of the water and stick on the stick. It could have if God wanted it to. I mean, he already had it float to the top. But the man had to make a decision to reach down and get it. And how do you reach down and get it? Well, this isn't too hard. Brother Slee, stand up real quick. X head's floating on the water down there. Reach down there and get it. You want the power of God back in your life? I want the power of God in my life. It might be I need to kneel down and get it today. Father, I pray that you